Let's go ahead and turn to John, if you would. John chapter 13. Continuing on through our Marked By series. Ultimately, it's Marked By Love, but there's a blank there because the question is, what marks us as believers? When someone sees us, what tells another person whether we're really a Christian or we're not? And so Jesus right here in John 13 gives us the answer to what it should be. What should be the thing that labels us or marks us as believers? In John 13, verse 34, going through verse 35, says this: I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We cannot miss this, that we are called to be marked by love. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll challenge us today. I pray that you will convict us in areas that we need to change. Lord, I pray that you will empower us to follow you. Holy Spirit, work in our lives that we will become more loving to those around us. Lord, I want to just lift up our mothers today and just give a special thank you to you for creating them. Lord, for giving us life in them, Lord. Lord, for our mothers that raised us in faith and passed on their faith and their values and their understanding and taught us your word. If we had a mother like that, I thank you. Lord, I pray that this will be a blessing for them today, that you will just encourage them today, that they will feel our love in return. And Lord, today as we study what love is, that we will understand how to love them even more and how to love those around us. Lord, I pray that we will indeed be marked by love. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Do you remember road trips as a kid? Did you ever take a family vacation? We took several long family vacations. Every year our family would drive down to Florida from Michigan, and we always did it in one day. We never stayed overnight anywhere. We would just get in the car, and Dad would drive, and Mom would drive during the night when less vehicles were on the road. And then Dad would get back to driving again. We drove out to Yellowstone one time, and had a great time driving out there. But these are pretty long road trips. And growing up, we didn't have iPhones to entertain us. We played family games, and we sung family songs. We did not have a TV. We did not have one of those giant vans with the boomerangs on top that had the TV. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody. The boomerang vans. I don't know what they're called, but they're huge vans with boomerangs. And so I can just picture Crocodile Dundee 2 where he grabs that boomerang off the back of the limo and hits the... One of us has seen that movie. So I was a big Crocodile Dundee fan. I really liked him. You call that a knife? This is a knife. Never mind. Okay. Anyway, so growing up, I really didn't have any of that stuff growing up, but I did have this. One of those little handheld video games. You ever seen one of those? One of these? Anybody have one of those? They are so annoying. Beep, 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 beep. And do this the entire time you're playing the game over and over and over. So I think after a while of hearing this video game, and my brother had the football game, and then we had the pinball one too, and it was blue, and so we had a few of these that we'd pass around. We'd get bored of them after a little while and annoyed at the beeping. And so then we would go into the next thing that would annoy, would be bugging each other. Because that's the next thing that kids like to do, at least we used to like to do, is to try to bug each other. And we used to have a citation growing up, and in the seat in the middle was a little bit of a different fabric. And so you could actually draw an actual line in the fabric, and it would stay. And you'd go, do not cross that line. And then what would you do? Next thing? creeping over, crossing the line, smacking each other. And you could only do that so long before dad's death pinch would come around from the front and he'd grab your leg and you'd be like, hey, okay, I'm done. I give in. And so mom would read us stories and really enjoyed that. Mom would sing songs with us, and then mom would play games with us. We played the alphabet game where you look at letters on the sign and you try to get to the alphabet first. And I was always really bad at it because I didn't know the difference between a B and a D. And so I'd like, I think I saw a B, but I'm not sure. Could you tell me, Mom? And so we would play this one 20 questions game, though. You know 20 questions? It's a game where the person who is the question answerer, for lack of a better term, would think of a person or a place or a thing. And if you really wanted to be spiritual, you played Bible 20 questions, and you go, I'm thinking of a Bible character. And the people would go, is it a guy? No. Is it a girl? No. Because you'd like pick the donkey that could talk, and you'd throw them all off, and you wanted to mess with them. And so you'd play this game, and you could only ask yes or no questions. That's the idea behind the game, only yes or no questions. And so if you've never played this game, I've now given you a new road trip game. I don't know who hasn't ever played this game, but this is how the game works. And when I was reading this week, I thought, man, this is like 20 questions here. God says this is love, and then he gives yes or no answers to what love is. We've already looked at the yes answers, and so we're playing 20 questions. You go, is it kind? Yes. Is it patience? Yes. What could it be? Is it, let's go through the verse here. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 gives those no answers to what love is not. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 is where we're going to spend the rest of our time today. Love is patient. Love is kind. Those are the two yeses. And now it's followed by a whole bunch of no's so that we can identify what love is indeed. And it says this, love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. We have these four statements here after the first two yeses, these four no statements that I want to focus on today. There's several more no statements, okay? But I'm going to only focus on four today, and then we'll focus on the rest next week. The four no statements I want to focus on today are in verse 4, in verse 5, where we have the questions, does it envy? No. Is it boastful? No. Is it conceited? No. Is it selfish? No. Love can't be these things. Love does not envy, it is not boastful, it is not conceited, it is not selfish. I won't label these things. Not only the four no answers that we're looking at today, but four thieves. When I was coming up with the title for this, I told Rachel I wanted to call it the four thieves. And she said, I don't think that's the right word. And I said, what do you mean? Thieves. Thief? Thieves. And she goes, no, I think it's like leaf leaves. Made sense to me. Four thieves is what we're calling it today, or four robbers of our love. When we act out these things, these are not loving. It's that simple. When we are envious, when we are boastful, when we are conceited, we are selfish, we are not being loving. If I told you that your house was going to be robbed today, and I told you the exact identity of the person that was going to do that, you would be on the lookout instantly for someone that fit the identity. Automatically. Have you ever had your house robbed, your car robbed? I've had both of those things, Rob, before, and it's not fun. It's not fun to deal with. But if you knew exactly what the person was looking like and going to come, or even maybe the exact hour they were going to come, you would be watchful of this. It would be in your mind constantly. If I see this person, they ain't getting close to my house. God here shows us four no's, or four thieves, or four robbers that take away love. And they are very clearly identified. Are we on guard against them, though? Are we watching out for envy in our lives, boastfulness, conceitedness, being selfish in our lives? That steals love. Several times, Rachel and I have gone on different mission trips overseas where one of the first things that they'll tell you when you're over, when we were in Prague, they'd say, don't keep your money in your back pocket. You didn't know what the thief may look like, but you knew that you always needed to be on guard. And you knew that when you got on the subway, you needed to take your backpack from your back and put it on your front. And so you were always on guard. It didn't cause you to be rude to other people. It didn't cause you to be mean to other people. You just had a guard up and a watchful eye going on in your life while you were on these trips. And I hope that as we identify these four thieves today, robbers today, that they will stand out to you in the coming weeks, in the coming years, in the coming months, that you will say, I am on guard against this, stepping into my life and taking away my love. Because if I do act like this, that I'm not identified as loving towards others. First of all, envy. Verse 4 says, love does not envy. What is envy? The definition of envy is wanting what somebody else has. It's jealousy. Envy leads to jealousy in our lives. It's maybe a possession, it may be an activity, it may be ability, it may be their knowledge, it may be anything in their lives. That we start to say, I want that. I've got to have that. Why do they have it and I don't have it? The opposite of envy is excitement for others, joy for others. Do we really want the best for someone else around us? Do we really want our brothers and sisters, our family, our kids, whatever it may be, to have what we may consider to be the best? You know, it's hard sometimes when life is hard to not be envious. It's hard sometimes to not wish that we had what someone else had, or we had their ability, or we had whatever is going on in their life. When life gets hard, it's easy to become envious. I think the key, though, to not being envious is to, no matter what is going on in our life, to really want the best for other people's lives. And to even pray for the best in other people's lives. And I understand that the best, or whatever you think may be the best situation or best thing or whatever, is a little bit different to each person. But Romans 12:15 says this about our attitudes for others. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. If we are going to rejoice with others when they rejoice and weep with others when they weep, we should really care beyond abilities and beyond stuff about the person. This first robber really focuses on the things the people have. It doesn't really focus on the person themselves. In the next three robbers is much like this one. Instead of focusing on the person and the heart of the person and wanting the best for the person, it's a focus from their stuff to ourselves. And that's where we're going to go next. These next three robbers are self-focused robbers, from their things to ourselves. And neither of these robbers, these thieves, have focused on the person themselves. Envy is focused on the things the person has. And these next three, boastfulness, or being boastful, conceited, and selfishness, that's a self-focused robber, where our complete focus is on me, or your complete focus is on you. The next robber we look at is boastful. Verse 4 also says, after love is patient and love is kind and love does not envy, it says this, it is not or is not boastful. And then it goes on, is not conceited. And those are the next two we're going to look at. What is the definition of being boastful? I think all of us know that. Just like we all know the definition of being envious. That's why Scripture doesn't go into great detail about what it means to be envious or boastful. We know what it means when someone's boastful. Maybe we've been boastful ourselves, but the exact definition of boastfulness is this: overemphasizing one's possessions or accomplishments. Do you like being around a boastful person?
No.
Do people like being around you when you become boastful? No. As a little league coach and as a dad, I really try to teach our kids and the kids on our baseball team to not be boastful. When they get a hit or when they accomplish something in life, I really try to teach them, yeah, you can be excited about it, but don't try to rub it in somebody else's face. Don't be mean about it. Don't say you're the greatest who ever was about everything. The opposite of boastfulness is humility. And we're called as believers to be humble in our lives. And so how can we be humble and boastful at the same time? And how do we protect against becoming boastful when good things happen in our lives? Well, I think the focus needs to be on the giver and not ourselves, not the receiver. It has to really change our perspective on what's going on in life. If God's given us the ability to do something, then who are we to be boastful of it? We should be humble and praise God that He is the one who accomplished this in our life. Paul reminds the church in Galatians that their boasting or their pride should be not in themselves but in God. You see, the Galatian church had started to become boastful of their works. And they in particular were focused on the work of circumcision. And they were boasting towards others that they were following God in this work. And Paul says this to them. He says in Galatians 6:14, he says, but as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. You see, Paul says, I'm not going to boast about myself and my works. And Paul could have boasted about everything because he had followed this law and done many things. He was a very knowledgeable man. He was the elite of the religious, and he could have boasted. But he says, I don't boast in myself. I boast in Christ, in the cross of Christ, or I boast in Christ alone. He's the one that I'm focused on. And so if our attitude is going to change from being boastful and overemphasizing who we are and what we have in a self-focus, then our focus must go to Christ alone. The next two are linked to this: conceited and selfish. You may tie those two together, but the Bible here separates these two in verse 4, in verse 5. And so verse 4, after saying, love does not envy, is not boastful, it says, is not conceited. And then it goes on into verse 5, and where it says, love does not act improperly and is not selfish. I'm focusing on the is not statements today and the loves not statements today. And so is not selfish. The definition of conceited is too proud or better than others. The definition of selfish is looking after your own desires. It's an I come first attitude. These, once again, are attitudes that focus firmly on ourselves. How can we be loving towards others if our focus is firmly placed upon ourselves? The Bible speaks against this over and over and over. Just to give you three verses, Mark 12:31, the first part of that, focusing on the loving our neighbors, says this. This is the second command, talking about the greatest commands. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, your focus cannot be on yourself alone if you're called to love them equally as yourself. It must be on them also. Philippians 2:4, we read this last week, and it says this, everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. How can you look out for the interests of others if you are conceited and selfish? You can't. And so our focus must go from ourself alone to looking out, as we talked last week, from our group and ourselves to looking up and out at others. James 3:16 says, for where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every kind of evil. Every kind of evil is linked to selfish ambitions or selfishness. Every kind of evil. I don't think Scripture can be more clear that our attitude should not be focused on ourselves. We're called to have a Christ-like love, and a Christ-like love is not a self-focused love. What he did for you and what he did for me was a self-sacrificing love. He gave his life for us, laid it down for you and for me. And we're called to have that same kind of love. And so that's not a conceited love. That's not a selfish love. As we look at this and these four thieves that may come in and steal from us, that may come in and rob our identity of love in Christ. The golden rule to me kind of jumps out. And you've probably heard mom say this to you before. And it's actually in Scripture. Luke 6:31. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. If we're going to get over our envy, if we're going to get over that attitude of wanting what others have and wanting what others have done, our self-focus of boastfulness and look at me and look what I've accomplished, if we're going to get over our conceited attitudes and our selfish attitudes, then we have to focus on Christ's attitude. The loving, caring attitude, the self-sacrificing attitude he has. And we need to remember his call to love our neighbors as ourselves and to just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them attitude. And then look at our lives and say, okay, how is this playing out? Is there someone in my life today that I've been called to love, which is everybody, because we're called to love our enemies, we're called to love our neighbors, we're called to love our other believers, we're called to love everyone. Is there someone in my life today that I have been envious of? If there's someone in my life today that I have been boastful towards? Is there someone in my life today that I have acted conceited towards or selfish towards? Is it my spouse? Is it my kids? Maybe my relatives, maybe my church family, my coworkers, maybe a stranger. Maybe it was an enemy. And then I need to repent of that. Ask for forgiveness of that. And to seek God's help to not have that attitude, but to have the attitude of what love is instead of what love is not. An attitude of patience. An attitude of kindness. And we're going to break down this passage even further over the next 2 weeks. But it starts there. The challenge today is there a robber in your house? Is there a thief that has broken in that you had let your guard down and envy has crept in? Being conceited has crept in. Being boastful has crept in. Being selfish has crept in. And when someone looks at you today, they go, I don't see love. I don't see the kindness. I don't see the patience that we're called to have as believers. I see envy. I see boastful, conceited selfishness. And then, what do? Woe is me. I'm such a horrible person. I'll never conquer this. No, we go, man, I'm a mess. Yeah. But I have a loving, caring Savior who wants to save me from my selfishness, wants to save me from my envy, wants to save me from my boasting, wants to save me from my conceited life, and wants to set me free that I may show love to those around me. And I repent of that and ask for forgiveness of that. And ask for help to have a loving, caring attitude and a patient attitude for those around me. And I do that. And I put up a guard and I say, I'm going to watch out for these attitudes. Because I don't want to be marked as unloving. I don't want to be envious, boastful, conceited, selfish. I want to be marked by love for those around me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that today you will challenge each of us. If there's someone in our life that we would say, man, I have had the total wrong attitude towards them. I have not been showing love whatsoever. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to turn that over to you. To maybe even go to them, Lord, and ask for their forgiveness for our attitudes that we've had, but ultimately our forgiveness from you, Lord. Lord, that you will set us free from those. And that we will be marked by love, not envy. Lord, that we will be marked by love, not conceited lives, not selfish lives, not boastful lives. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I know this is a challenge. But Lord, give us power in you. Holy Spirit, work in us that we can be marked by love. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.